Good morning. Thanks for the invitation. I was supposed to be here several weeks ago, but I had the flu. So just pray when Eric calls me to sub that I don't get sick. I teach a class at my church. They're a little younger than us, 20 to 40. So, y'all remember 20? But they're not meeting today, so it worked out. And I'm currently teaching a 10-week series on the calling of the 12. And next time I teach, I'll be teaching on what the Bible tells us about Thomas. And I want you to want to give you a new term for Thomas. Not doubting Thomas, but Thomas the pessimist. So next time you read about Thomas in Scripture, think of him more as a pessimist than a doubter. Now, Benjamin Franklin was asked, are you an optimist or a pessimist? He said, well, if I'm an optimist, I'm continually disappointed. But if I'm a pessimist, I'm occasionally surprised. Now, there's an outline on your table. Again, I printed the scriptures not to insult you, but just so I can move rapidly. And you'll see a blank line. See the blank line at the top? All right, that's where the title of today's lesson is going to go. And I'm going to give you the title at the end of the lesson. Okay? Because when I give you the title, you will always remember this passage of Scripture. You'll remember it for the rest of your life when I give you the title. You know, I've observed, Becky says hi, by the way. She's working, leading worship right now. She wishes she could be here, but she's on the clock. And we leave in the morning for choir tour. She's taking her youth on a choir and mission tour. And they're going to do ministry in St. Louis and Kansas City. And Fayetteville, Arkansas on the way back. So she's looking forward. We're looking forward to that. So I've observed that we need healing in our nation. Would you agree? And many of our churches need healing. Would you agree? And families need healing. Would you agree? Some of us in the room today need healing. Would you agree? Now look at Matthew 9:35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Notice the things that Jesus did in addition to the teaching that he did. Teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness. So that was the purpose of Jesus' mission. You see, God cares about our mind, God cares about our body, and God cares about our soul. He also cares about our hurts, he cares about our habits, and he cares about our hang-ups. You see, Jesus spent a third of his time teaching, he spent a third of his time preaching, and he spent a third of his time healing. And it was happiness and wholeness that Jesus sought to bring to that lost and dying world. And same to that. You see, there are lost people, and God wants his lost kids to be found. He really does. You see, Jesus came for every one of us. He came for everybody in the world. There's not a person in the world that God doesn't care about. There's not a person in the world that God created that he didn't love. God never thinks of a person as helpless. Now, there's a story in the Bible that occurs three times. Matthew 9, Mark 2. We're going to look at Mark 2, so if you want to open your Bible, you can do that or follow along on the outline. In Mark 2, we're going to read that account. And also in Luke 5. So one story occurs three times. Right? Matthew 9, Mark 2, and Luke 5. Do you remember when your mom and dad told you something three times? They wanted you to get it. Okay? So if there's something in the Bible that's repeated, why do you think that is? God wants us to get it. Right? He wants us to get it. Now I want you to notice that there's a paralyzed man that needs healing. And he couldn't get into the room on his own to see Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. This is New American Standard. Oh, I have a new Bible, by the way, that I broke out. Remember my old Bible? Yeah. I retired my old Bible when I left y'all, and I had another one in a box, so I brought it out. Okay. Yeah. And I can't find anything in it. You know, so. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and go home. And he got up immediately, picked up his pallet, and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And at your tables, what jumps out as you have read this passage of Scripture with me that maybe you didn't notice before, or maybe something familiar that jumped out at you? Ready to go. If you've never heard me teach before, this is the audience participation board. Okay. What jumps out at you as you look at this story? Okay, Brother Paul. When Jesus saw their faith. All right? Someone else over here. Yes, ma'am. He was carried by four men. They must have had faith as well. All right? Yes, ma'am. He immediately walked. Notice that? He immediately walked. What else jumps out that maybe you never noticed before or something that's familiar to you?
I never really paid attention to the fact that the home was where he was staying.
Yeah, so he forgives him, he heals him, and he knows what they're thinking, those three things. Yes. Everywhere Jesus goes, his enemies are there. You ever feel like that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yes. The four men had faith. Yes. Right. Something that's being done good, something that's being done in Jesus' name, and people are questioning it. You know, that's going on today. It's going on today. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. There, notice that he did healing first. He said, your sins are forgiven.
Well, it's already done.
That's right. Do you see any humor in the story? Yeah. Do you see any humor in the story? Yeah, I'm not sure the homeowner felt really good about his room being destroyed. I don't know that that was that funny. You know? To me, the last verse we read is funny. But we've never seen anything like this before. Inflection added, you know, like, duh. You know? Yeah. Here's the greatest man ever walked the earth. performing miracles, and the religious leaders are questioning all this. Now, as you study this passage, a pattern emerges. First, don't you notice that Jesus says a word of encouragement to the paralyzed man? Second, he diagnoses the problem. You know, if you have a problem, first you've got to admit, I've got a problem, right? And third, he challenges the man to act in faith. Now, Jesus did these three things to heal the man of his hurts, his habits, and his hang-up. I want you to notice first, Jesus calms my fears. Jesus calms my fears. Now, in the home, it was standing room only. You know, people were clamoring to get inside to hear Jesus teach. And four men bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. So they climb up on the roof, and in those days, there was an outside staircase where people could go up on the roof when it was hot and relax. So the four men carry this paralyzed man up on the roof. They remove the tiles from the ceiling, and they let the paralyzed man right down in front of Jesus. See that? Right down in front of Jesus. Now, what if the person on the stretcher was you, and you were lowered right in front of Jesus? How would that make you feel? Would you be afraid? Would you be discouraged? Would you be desperate? Would you be nervous? Would you be grateful? Okay. This man was desperate enough to get healing that he wanted Jesus' attention. You see that? When we in our prayer life get so desperate, we want God's attention. Hello? Is anybody up there? You ever done that? Okay. You've prayed many times. You feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling, right? You know? When we're desperate, we really cry out to God. Now, in the Matthew 9 account, Jesus tells the man what he needs to hear. Jesus in Matthew 9 says, "Be encouraged, my child. My child." Did you notice that? Jesus calms my fears. Jesus is saying to us and this man today, don't give up. Whatever you're going through, don't give up, because I can help. You know, I know that if I bring whatever hurt that I have to Jesus, He's not going to criticize me. Did you know that? Whatever you bring to Jesus, He's not going to criticize you. Because no one is ever going to love you as much as Jesus does. You see, Jesus is never disappointed in you. Jesus is never surprised when He hears our prayers. Jesus doesn't sit up in heaven and going like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. He knows exactly what's going on in our life even before we say it. He knows everything about us. He knows every single thing. And He understands whatever pain you're going through, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, or spiritual pain. If you're depressed, Jesus cares about you. Yeah, Jesus already knew. Rather than go outside, He stayed inside. That...
We emphasize the man in the bed in this place. We don't really think about the four men.
That's right.
Because the four men probably had to have greater faith than the man in the bed. Because they were willing to tear up a roof to take this man and sit him down. So they had to be very, very strong believers.
Exactly right. The four men probably had more faith than the man on the stretcher. So, and you can imagine them knocking on the door and saying, we've got somebody sick that needs to get into Jesus and they can't get in. You know, just imagine what's going through their mind. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and take that one step further. How in the world have Martha
going
to know exactly where the tiles were to put Jesus right there?
Yeah, somebody else brought it up. Trisha brought that up.
Yeah. How did they hear over here talking about
it? Yeah, maybe they prayed about it. You know, maybe they prayed about it. You know, God, what would you have us do? Yeah. Listen.
Yes.
That's right. To begin his ministry. Exactly right. So if you're depressed, Jesus cares. If you're worried, Jesus cares about that. If you're discouraged, Jesus cares about that. You see, Jesus calms my fears. You know, as Christ followers, we've got the greatest message ever to tell to other people. Right? Because people are waiting to hear the principles that we know about Jesus' healing and what Jesus can do for you. You know, you may be sitting here thinking, well, I don't want to bother Jesus with my little bitty hurt. You know, I don't want to trouble him. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He cared so much for us that he was willing to give his life for us. Because if you come to Jesus, he will always love you. So Jesus calms my fears. Number two, Jesus confronts my failures and my faults. These are our sins. He confronts our faults and our failures. You see, Jesus saw beneath the paralyzed man's real problem. Because guilt has consumed this paralyzed man. In the Matthew 9 account, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. But why did he say that? You know, why did he say your sins are forgiven before he started healing him? Well, Jesus knows everything. He realized that the paralyzed man really didn't know what to ask for. So, he says, you're forgiven. You see, my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups, these may be symptoms of something that's much deeper. You see, bogged down with the guilt, the paralyzed man's body showed it. And I can tell you this. If I'm angry and I swallow that anger, my tummy gets upset. Okay? Because you can't keep it in. You've got to talk to God about it. And I realize that not every hurt that we go through is self-induced. Because hurting people hurt other people. You know, 50% of the people in the hospital are there for stress. Did you know that? 50% of the people in the hospital are there for stress. You see, we regret our past, we worry about our future, and we resent today. We're in a mess. We really are. And most of the world is dying to hear that same phrase that Jesus uttered to this paralyzed man. Your sins are forgiven. Now, if we get that message across to our churches, we'll begin to see healing not only in ourselves, we'll see healing in our families, and we'll see healing in our nation if we get that across. You see, Jesus, as you've already pointed out, he knew the real problem. Everybody else only saw the physical problem. What are you talking about, Jesus? Here's a paralyzed man on the mat. You know, we don't see anything about this. I mean, Jesus realized that there were hidden wounds in this man's life. Maybe the man was also paralyzed by relationships. I don't know. Hurting people hurt people. You know, people are miserable, and they'll say, because I'm miserable, I'm going to make you miserable too. Perhaps the man had gone to a doctor, and he said, you need more exercise, or you need better nutrition, or you need some aromatherapy, you know. Right? What hurting people need is who? Jesus Christ. Exactly right. Now, if you're ever unsure about an answer to a question in Sunday school, answer Jesus, and 99% of the time you're going to be correct. All right? The man's real problem was that he was paralyzed by his past. Notice that he calms the fears, he confronts the failures and the faults. He says he calls him, in the Matthew 9 account, he calls him a friend. Jesus himself said, I'm a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus is your friend? You see, you are valuable to God despite what hurt, habit, or hang-up that you're experiencing. Second, notice that Jesus protects the dignity of the man on the mat. Okay? Jesus didn't reveal the sin to the whole crowd, did he? No. See, Jesus doesn't embarrass you like other people do. Because one day, I bet you that man had a powerful testimony to tell somebody else of how he was healed. You see, Jesus doesn't minimize the guilt. He eliminates it. When he forgives instantly. He forgives completely. He forgives freely. He forgives unconditionally. He forgives repeatedly. Now, many people think Jesus heals only once. But forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. Because, you see, broken hearts are harder to heal than broken bodies. He calms my fears. He confronts my faults and my failures. And third, He challenges my faith. He challenges my faith. And how does Jesus challenge my faith? Well, He asks us to do something that we think is impossible. What does He tell a man who hasn't walked? Get up. Are you kidding me? Here's the paralyzed man who's lived an entire lifetime this way. Now, why did Jesus ask the man to do something impossible? That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. Matthew 9:29, it shall be done according to your faith. You see, over and over again, Jesus has said, your faith has healed you. You see, this faith stuff really works. It really does. When God asks you to do the impossible, He's going to give you the power to do it. And I think the paralyzed man represents all of us. Because each of us, if we were honest, are paralyzed by some issue. We're paralyzed by something. It may be worry. It may be doubt. It may be a relationship or depression or anger or envy. You can fill in the blank. You may have painful memories of something that happened to you in the past. You're paralyzed because you can't move to the present because you're focusing on your past. Can I tell you something? Your past is your past. Okay? Your past is your past. People in your past will never be able to hurt you anymore. The good news is that Jesus wants to set you free. So He calms my fears. He confronts my faults and failures. He challenges my faith. So how do I admit? How do I respond in faith? I have to admit that I need help. I have to admit that I need help. And that's where prayer comes in. Now, the paralyzed man had an option, right? He could have stayed home. He could have told his friends, no, I really don't want to go. You know, I really don't want to go see Jesus. People might notice me. You know, are you kidding? He's on a mat. Okay? People might look at me differently. You know, are you kidding me? You're on a mat. You're paralyzed. You know? But, go ahead, Chris. He just did it. Right. Exactly right. We're coming to that. I mean, Jesus didn't say, well, that's tough, but, you know, hope works out, you know. He didn't say that, did He? Because we need to do whatever Jesus tells us to do. And just as Patricia says, what does He do? The paralyzed man gets up and starts walking. Never walked a day in his life. That's how Jesus heals us. So, again, if you're angry, Jesus can heal that. If you're depressed, Jesus can heal that. If you're grieving, Jesus can help. Are you lonely? Jesus can help. And that's why this class is so important, because God wired all Christians to be connected to one another.
Amen.
Yeah.
What gives me a good passage is the fact that these people got their friends to cry because they wanted physical healing. That's what they were doing. The Christ knows that He wants to give them a lesson to show that really human charity, human sin, or whatever we are going to train and all the life, the origin of all of these things that we have in life is sin. And so He takes the fact. And if He had just done with the healing, maybe people should not have known about the fact of all the animals, things. But He went back right there, and when He put in the back before He came out, He put it back at me. So, I don't know what we're talking about. The origin of human
trouble. Right. See, sin is the root of all of our trouble. And I don't know about you, I didn't wake up this morning thinking that I was a sinner, but you know what? I am. Right? Look at James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to one another. Now, that's really difficult to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to trust the person that you're confessing to, right? Right? Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And you know, you can say, I'm really struggling with something that's really personal and I don't want to share it. But who knows what you're struggling with? God does. God does. Now, I've learned to relate well to people because I've dealt with major hurts. I've dealt with major hurts. Okay? In fact, there are anniversary days, not my wedding anniversary days, but there are anniversary days of moments that happened in my life that come back up. And you know what? I can say, yeah, God took care of that. I didn't think He was taking care of it at the time, but He took care of it. When God helps you of your hurt, habit, and hang-up, you'll be able to help somebody else. It's like the Indians say, you know, walking in another man's moccasins. When you go through a hurt, God may be using that, may be using you in the future to help somebody else get through that because you've been through it. You know exactly what to experience. So here are some points from our lesson today. The first step is compassion. Compassion. The four friends became concerned for their friend who was paralyzed. So they had compassion and brought him to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. See, God used these four friends because they thought of their friend. How can I help my friend? Jesus will show you how to have compassion. Number two, faith. Faith. The four friends believed that Jesus would heal their friend. The Luke account says this, seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. Your faith will also help someone come to Jesus. Your faith. Number three, intervention. The friends didn't simply pray, they took action. And our prayers sometimes need action behind them. You might have a friend that you've been talking to for years, and you've invited them to come with you, and they keep declining. You may need to just say, hey, next Sunday at 8:30, I'm picking you up. So be ready. All right? Action. So right now, or when you get home, you can start making a list of people you're going to bring next week. All right? Go ahead and let them know. All right, the next one is persistence. Persistence. The friends didn't let the circumstances discourage them. Okay, roof, no big deal. All right? Stairs, no big deal. All right? I don't imagine the guy was that light carrying him up on a stretcher. So they carry him up. You see, a crowded room, the friends were determined to get him to Jesus. We need to be determined to get our friends to Jesus as well. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. The next one is innovation. Innovation. You may need to be innovative. The friends dared to do something different. They tore up the roof. Tore up the roof. And there's a point that's a whole other lesson. You see, ministry sometimes can be messy. There are messy people that need Jesus, right? When you get home, look in the mirror. We are one of them, right? In fact, there's a support group that has a T-shirt that says, I'm one of those people. You know what? So am I. And so are you. You're one of those people. Cooperation. Notice the cooperation. The friends work together to get their friend to Jesus. And you said this before. How many friends? Four. One on each corner. What if there were three friends? Be a little rough, right? Only two friends. Be more difficult. One friend here. Four friends. You see, people come to Jesus sometimes through a group effort. So team up with somebody if you've got a difficult person you're working on and take a buddy with you. The last one is sacrifice. The roof got destroyed. The roof got destroyed. And see, I think it was mentioned earlier, nobody really thinks about the homeowner, you know? But the homeowner has to go get a new roof in order for somebody to get healed. See, it takes money, it takes time, it takes effort, but we all have to be willing to make a sacrifice. We have to be willing to move out of our comfort zone. So as I said at the beginning, if we do this, if we practice this model in Mark chapter 2, we can see healing in ourselves, we can see healing in our families, we can see healing in our churches, and we can see healing in our nation. If we practice compassion-based intervention, persistence, innovation, cooperation, and sacrifice. If we do those seven things, Jesus will do His three. He'll calm our fears, He'll confront our faults and failures, and He'll challenge our faith. All right, ready for the title? How many friends were there? House was full. Four of a kind beats schoolhouse. Four of a kind beats schoolhouse. That's right.